Some may be wondering how I can call what I've been sharing spiritual warfare. I'll be very frank with you. What I'm longing to do is to share those basics from which active spiritual warfare proceeds. And many of us know how tiring real spiritual warfare has become, and sometimes wrongly so. I never discover Jesus worn out, tired, but I've often asked myself, when Jesus went up into the mountain to pray, I wonder what he did to be able to come down the next morning and minister to hundreds upon hundreds of people. Any of you who do that sort of thing, pray for folk, counsel them, will know how demanding that is. I assume that he didn't just kneel there and sweat all night. I have a feeling that he knew his father's heart so well that he might say, "Father, I'm coming home in a little while." And he would rest, and his spirit would just commune with his Father in heaven, so that in the morning he was strong again. I do have this awful feeling, because I've done it for so long, that a lot of our prayer is hard, hard work. Sometimes we try to do what has already been done by God. We try to become people we already are. We ask for things we already have. And then sometimes we wonder why it's so difficult to do some of the most simple things asked of us by the Lord in prayer. Now, if therefore what I'm saying seems awfully simplistic, please believe me that though it may be simple, it is difficult because our minds are conditioned to do. And the only way we receive things in this life is by doing or paying for them. And that is the way we handle the things of prayer. "Lord, I will do this a bit more, if you'll bless me a bit more." And of course, we don't say that, but we're implying it. And of course, when it doesn't happen, we're disappointed. And so we have a way of praying rather abstractly, in a rather nondescript way. We pray for things. And if we were asked, and I've asked myself this, 2 minutes later, what was I praying for? I have to say, "Well, wasn't it such and such? 2 minutes." And I'd forgotten something that I was saying was terribly important, Lord. In other words, I wasn't really part of that prayer. I was praying prayers. And when it comes to fighting an enemy, well, we go through so often a formula. We say things. We say it with intensity and with great meaning. "In the name of Jesus." And really, that is saying "in the name of Jesus" with great passion. Now, whether we mean it or whether we know what it means is another thing. I'm not saying you don't, but what I'm saying is that I, for a long time, would pray the regular prayers prescribed by those who were superior to me, and I did as I was told. And I felt, "I don't know. Dear God, you say in your word that when Jesus was on earth, he healed them all. As many as touched him were made perfectly whole. And yet, Lord, how many do I see healed when I pray?" And I know that it's a very tiny percentage. And isn't it true that when God does heal someone, we're more amazed than when he doesn't? Wow, look at that! He's healed her! Well, that's what we asked for. So we need to ask ourselves, how can we know God? Can we know him? Can we know him in such a way that praying in the Spirit takes on a new and exciting meaning? Yesterday or the day before, I was trying to emphasize the difference between the soul and the Spirit, and how that revelation from God to the Spirit is sometimes not communicable. In other words, it's so high that the Spirit understands things that the mind doesn't. And isn't it true that when the Spirit communicates with the mind, when God speaks to our mind, so often he uses parables, allegories, types, shadows, and things? Why? Because there are no words truly to describe this kind of message. And there is other vital information known to the Spirit which cannot be communicated, and yet, in a time when God is moving, say, in the evenings, one says, oh, I know the presence of God. How? I just know. That's all you can say. I just know. And you're not wrong, because many, many others are saying just the same thing. They know, you know. And there is this consciousness of integrity, of compassion, of strength, of might and power, of excellence and so on. God with us, God alive in us. So can we get to know him? Is it possible to know him so that when we pray in the Spirit, when we pray, demons and angels tremble, not because of us, but because our God is being allowed his rightful place in us? That's why. So I'm going to start by just sharing three scriptures, and I feel these are important, terribly important ones. If you can see, if I'm in the way, forgive me. The first one is Isaiah 40:31. But they who wait for the Lord, what do? You wait. Those who serve the Lord know. No, it's nice to serve the Lord because you feel good after serving him. But those who wait, and everybody can wait, even those of us who just can't do anything at all but wait, what happens? They shall renew their strength. They mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The second is Isaiah 30:15b. In quietness and trust or confidence shall be your strength. In what? In quietness and trust. You know, we mix up, we kind of mistake faith for I believe. I do believe. I believe with all my heart that God is going to do it. Now, that is not faith. That is you saying, or me saying, I believe with all my heart that God is going to do it. Real faith is when you're quite quiet inside. It's that sweet confidence that what God has said he will do, and no one can change it. That again is why we need to be still. And then thirdly, Psalm 46:10, be still, I like this, and believe that I am God. No, it doesn't say that. Be still and know. Our believing is changed into knowing, and when that happens, when you know something, you never believe it again. Do you know what I mean? Because knowing is certainly beyond believing. Believing is taking the word of someone, and I have not seen the fulfillment of that promise made by that someone, but when I see it, I know. And God wants to change being still into knowledge. All right? So those three scriptures are important. Now, again, we come to a question, and that is, how can we create a simple practice of learning how to wait upon God? Because as we learn this, out of the discoveries that we make, our spirit will begin to move under the anointing of the Holy Spirit to pray and to do battle with a strange new confidence that perhaps we've never known before. Now, this takes a little while, but I'll guarantee this. I know it sounds awful, me guarantee it, but I mean it. If you will practice this, which I'm going to show you, day by day, after a month, you will know a change, a transformation in your life that is quite remarkable. Quite remarkable. Let's have a look at these stages. I've tried to put them down in an order that will make sense. Very simple. Too obvious, really. I've called it communing with God. Communing with God. Preparation. I like this bit. Expectancy through the day. We fix a time for prayer and a place. And like two people in love, we get ourselves ready. In anticipation. I'm going to see my lovely Lord tonight. He's with me now, but I'm going to give him time so that I can listen to him without any interruptions. And through the day, just think, at 8 o'clock tonight, up in my attic room, down in the shed, wherever it's going to be, I'm going to meet with my Lord. And, you know, as we start to think of Jesus Christ as the lover of our souls, who is also our righteousness and our truth, and we realize the privilege of knowing and sharing our lives in and with this wonderful Lord, expectancy increases, anticipation rises within us, and we're very excited. It grows. Secondly, please, very essential, before we come, we just say, Lord, if there's anything between us now, will you please let me know? I don't want anything to stand between this time, between us during this time. Then, getting ready. One, be comfortable, relax, and anticipate pleasure. That is, the pleasure of meeting our lovely Lord. If that's not a pleasure, I don't know what is. Relax. You can kneel if you like. You know, sometimes at home or wherever we go, we've got little prayer stalls. Ever seen them? Probably some of you have. It's a little platform. You can make them. It's a little board about that size, about that narrow, and there are two little feet on it, little widths of wood, and they can be folded up to put them away. But why they're handy is that sometimes, you know, you want to kneel before the Lord. And when you're kneeling on a chair, against the chair, it becomes very uncomfortable. And so you're doing this, and you're doing that, and you're straightening up, and you're going down, and you think, I better sit. Now, these little prayer stools are used by many, many people. You'd be surprised. And you just slip them under your legs and sit back on them, so you're kneeling, but your weight is kept steady, and you can just wait for as long as you like in an attitude of worship before the Lord. And it's a lovely place to be, on one's knees. Or, if you like, some cushions. Try that. Be comfortable, in other words, no peas beneath the knees this time. Anticipate pleasure. Secondly, posture, sit or kneel. Thirdly, equipment. Have your Bible, notebook, pen, and your glasses if you need them. Now, you may not use the notebook and the pen, but have these things ready just in case God says something and you want to record it. Another way of doing it is to have a little tape recorder, which is more or less on go, and you can just feed into it things that God is showing to you, maybe just for yourself. Fourthly, be still. Be still. Quieten the body, mind, and the spirit. I often say, I will rest in your holy presence, my Lord. I will rest. And I let my body and my mind and my spirit just rest, and I sense him within me and around me, his presence filling the room. He has come. He's already there. He's been there all the time. But in the sense that I'm meeting him, he has come. And then I love to reflect on the wonder of this moment. Just be still. Let the moments tick by. Maybe you won't see him. Maybe you won't have shakings or anything like that. That doesn't matter. It's this tranquility of spirit. It's almost as though you've come to a doorway and the door's moving to open, and you're saying, my Lord, I think if you open that door, I'll see you. So near he comes to us. So gently he offers himself to us. Now, keep this in mind, folks. He loves us more than we could ever dream of loving him. And what he's wanting to do, now this may sound very simple, very selfish, but he longs for us to let him love us. Because loving him depends upon us receiving his love. We love him because he first loved us. So I say, my Lord, I know I don't deserve it, but I want to revel in your love, please. And you sit quietly. Just let the minutes tick by. Now, many housewives can't do that. Many folk can't do that. But I tell you, even if it's for 5 or 10 minutes, it's worth it. Even if for a while you stop regular praying and allow this foundation experience to be established within the mind and the spirit and the soul of a human being, your heart, it's worth it. And as we kneel or sit, we may say nothing at all, just have Jesus before us. You are here, my Lord. He bathes us with his love. He's speaking to us. He never stops speaking to us. And now and again, it may seem as if you hear his voice. An impression comes to the mind, and you think, oh Lord, I feel you're saying, I love you so much. I feel I hear you saying, I'm going to raise you up, or I'm going to open your heart a little wider. I'm going to give you a love for those who are broken around you. Maybe something like, and you're not quite sure, that's all right, leave it. But this is the beginning of God impressing his mind upon ours. Then, now read and enjoy a favorite passage of your Bible. Read it again, making the words and phrases live. And again, be still. Reflect. And what I've done here is the meeting with God. These are some of the things I find myself saying. I gladly welcome you, Lord. And as I wait, I may say, I am now meeting with the great God of heaven and earth and his Son, Jesus Christ. He is filling this room. He is making himself known to me. I don't deserve it. That's not the point. I gladly receive you, beloved Lord. Cover me, please. Fill me, please. And these are what I call love talk. I think with all my heart that our Lord is longing for this kind of relationship to develop with him. In this way, we discover something more of his holiness and his righteousness and his truth, his integrity. We see his majesty and his might and his power and his glory and his splendor. And we find, as it were, like a doorway being opened to who he is. And though we may never be able to explain to another what it is we feel, yet we know it is transforming us, changing us. All right, let's leave that one. So that is a very simple way of starting. Now, it's, you may say, I don't think I could do that. You could. It is hard to do nothing. Especially when, if I've got a nice long prayer list and I want to get praying, I want to fight the enemy. I think if we've got a relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ where he is the commander-in-chief and we know what he's saying and we can listen to what he's telling us and we do exactly as we're told, we're going to see the victory that he's promised. And perhaps we wouldn't see a lot of mistakes that we do see, a lot of the problems that we do see. And most of you who are teachers of the Bible and lovers of God's Word and students of God's Word will know what I'm referring to. We long to take hold of the Word of God. Now, here is a way in which we can pray together in our churches, in small groups, using the understanding that when we wait upon the Lord, as we give ourselves in waiting upon him with the intention of hearing him, he begins to impress upon us his thoughts, his ideas. And for that, I would like to use a scripture, which is Mark. Is it Mark or Luke? Mark 11. Mark 11. Verse 24. Therefore, I tell you, Now, this is a way of emphasizing truth. I tell you, this is the truth. You see, that's what he is saying. Whatever you ask in prayer, and the word there can be translated like the Authorized Version into desire. Desire is a good word because it has a right emphasis. That I'll try and explain. Whatsoever you desire in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Now, most churches have some pretty heavy prayer projects. People you long to see transform, change, systems you long to see transformed. You long for those sorts of movements of the Lord and you pray fervently. Every day you bring these matters to the Lord faithfully. And now and again you see changes, now and again you see movements here and there and you're encouraged. In one church where I ministered for a while, we had a separate prayer meeting from the church prayer meeting. It was an additional one in the week, and why we came together was there were those who longed to pray with some greater intensity. They wanted to wait before the Lord. They didn't want the traditional hour. They wanted to have as much as time as they could spend together in prayer. And it in no way minimized the effect of the other prayer meeting. Not at all. But because the intentions were good and honorable, we agreed to do this. Now, this is what happened. We used to come together, about 12 or 13 of us, sit in a circle, and we'd bring the prayer requests one at a time, and we would pray. Sometimes we prayed with great intensity. Oh God, we cried. And as the week went by, and we made an assessment of the value of this time, we were faced with that with the truth that very little seemed to be happening. We found too that we had come to a place where when we prayed for someone, we didn't want to know what happened to the person because rarely did anything happen. But we said, but I'm sure God must have blessed that person in other ways. So we've got a way of making things right in the end, but we are dissatisfied. So I stopped the meeting and said, look, folks, something's going wrong here. We're not doing something right. If Jesus were here with us, and he is, we should see much more happen, shouldn't we? And they agreed. So we came across that scripture, whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe that you have it. I said, you know, we don't even desire for these people to be healed or these prayers to be answered. We have no desire because we don't know the person. And if we have no knowledge of the person, and we can't have a desire, what's the use of praying? But then we began to talk about this, and we came to the decision that if God wanted us to pray, and we believed he did, he could create a desire. So we gathered, and we gathered around, and we began to wait quietly before him.
God give to us the desire for, I'll call her Mrs. Jones. She had written in, 82 years of age, a chronic arthritic for many years, and she said, I am absolutely riddled with pain. I'm stiff as a board. She said, I don't mind the stiffness. It's the pain is quite intolerable, and I don't think I can go on anymore. Please pray. So we brought her and we said, let's just ask God to guide us. I didn't even know what I meant by that. But as we waited quietly, someone said, you know, I just feel a great heaviness for that lady. I feel as if I can understand the pain she's going through. And another said, well, as a matter of fact, it's been just kind of laid upon my heart concerning the stiffness and the way she's trying to walk, the way she tries to get upstairs, and the terrible suffering that she's undergone. And another would say this, and another, and another, and another, and another, and until at last it seemed as if we had a picture of her. Was this God, or was it us thinking? Well, it might have been partly of the mind, the imagination, but I think here we begin to discern the Spirit of God prompting in such a way that you couldn't say, ah, that is God, that is you. So we prayed, and we said, now we're going to take this lady and we're going to offer her to the Lord himself. Let's imagine she is with us here and we lift her up to you, most holy Lord. Jesus Christ, you who love the broken and wanted to heal them, we're going to bring Mrs. Jones to you. And we together, it was the most wonderful experience, because we were so one in heart, one in spirit. And it was as if we were lifting her up and the Lord's hands were coming out to heal her. 2 days later, we got the letter from the lady. She said at 8:30 that night when we were praying, and it was about 8:30, she said, it seemed as though a cap was taken off my feet, and all the pain poured out from the head down, the shoulders, all the way down. She said, I haven't a trace of pain. I'm so grateful. She said, I'm still as stiff as a board. So we referred to the letter again, where it says, I don't mind the stiffness. It makes you think, doesn't it? To discover the Spirit of the Lord. Would you like to try an experiment? Yes, I knew you would. I sense that. How many have ever done this? To create a psalm, a simple psalm. You have, yes. I tell you why I'd like us to try this, because it might help us to understand how that the Spirit of the Lord moving upon us moves in such ways that our minds can't understand what he's doing, but the product is clear evidence that it's God at work and not the human person. What I'm getting at is this: how did we know that God was speaking to us? And afterwards we couldn't. Well, we didn't really know, but we knew. We knew it was God. We knew that we wouldn't have a compassion like that. We knew that we couldn't have knowledge like that. We knew these things couldn't be of us. We'd never had them before. They were so fresh, so new, so vital. And so God breathed. That's the way they seem. And we could only say, although we could understand these things with the mind, they were of the Spirit. That's all we could say. And that happens many times when God is moving in a church. But we move beyond. Now, how many of you have ever composed a song? I'm not going to get you to do one now. How many? How many have written a poem? Look at that. You wrote poems. Lots of people can do lots of things because they have creative parts to them, and they never know until they do it. They never do it because they don't believe they can, but they don't. But what we're going to do is to create, say, a 15-line psalm. And each line is a contribution of one individual. You can't have more than two lines. Now, have you ever wandered down a country lane around here when you're all alone and God has so blessed you, and you're looking up and you say, "Oh my God, with all my heart I praise your name. My soul is uplifted to you. Even the trees, even the flowers, the hedgerows, the hills, the valleys, the rivers and the brooks shout your praise. Day and night they shout your praise. The stars of the heaven at night declare your glory. Lord, thou art God." And as you go on, it begins to flow a little more and a little more and a little more. Is that you? Yes, but just you. No. Who is it? The quality of what is coming out, so unlike you, seems to indicate the introduction seems to indicate that someone who is extremely beautiful is giving you a help. He is inspiring you. He who dwells within us inspires us to reach out, to reach beyond, to understand that the other world beyond is far more real and enduring than this which is fading away. So we're going to create a psalm, and when we read what's in the psalms, we begin to think, praise the Lord. Well, that's a bit of a psalm. That's easy, isn't it? And it's got here, praise him all his angels. Excuse me. Praise him all his hosts. Host. Let them praise the name of the Lord. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. I will extol thee, my God and King. Blessed be the Lord, my rock. I say to the Lord, thou art my God. I'm moving from one to the other. There is a quality in every line. And what it says to me is that we can't read Psalms that way, but there is this presence of the Spirit of God everywhere we turn as we open one page or another. All right? So I would like somebody to be our superscribe, somebody who can write, somebody who can write clearly, reasonably fast. Who will do it? You will, and somebody else. Will you do it? Please. Thank you. Good. Now, I'll lead off with the first line. I'll repeat it so that our scribes can put it down. When they've got it down, I will say, next, please. That means somebody else can share a line. All right? Somebody else can share a line. We do the same again, and I'll say next, please. And until we have a 15-line psalm, 15 lines. Now be yourself. We use the pronoun we because it's a psalm which comes from our heart. We will love you, Lord. We will, whatever it is, we will do. If at the end of a line, there, You want to put an and? I will lift up my eyes unto the hills and something, something, something. You can do that. If halfway through you feel happy and you want to put a hallelujah in, you can put that. Let us, the Spirit of God, to just anoint our waiting and contributions now, shall we? Most Holy Spirit, revealer of the truth of Christ, revealer of the Father, we don't ask you to be with us because you are. You have gathered us. But we want you to teach us how to listen to your voice. We want to learn how to pray in a more spiritual way, if that's reasonable. We pray regular prayers, Lord, but sometimes it seems as though we need to rise much higher, and we want to learn how to do it. Father, will you give to us your blessing and anointing now, in Jesus' name. Amen. If we just keep our eyes closed and our hearts just quietly before the Lord, you can look up if you wish, and you can have your hands folded or just cupped on your lap if you want to. Just be comfortable. You be comfortable your way. But we're in a place where we're just waiting on God. All right, I'll begin. Dear Lord, how great is your name, and how glorious are your ways. Dear God, how great is your name, and how glorious are your ways. Could I just say, go on. This, as we look up at the stars at night, Lord, we cannot count them. So too, we cannot count your blessings. Beautiful. Therefore, right next, please.
In thy greatness, O Lord.
Therefore, therefore, in your presence, Lord, we acknowledge your sinfulness, our sinfulness. And the last part, please. Pardon? And frailty. Yes, beautiful. Just hold it there, please. Just keep quietly before the Lord. Next, please. For you have redeemed us. And saved us from sin. Saved us from sin. Beautiful. Beautiful. But we acknowledge that your ways are not ours. Hold it there, please. The pens are burning. Next, please.
In the morning, your sun shines to give us light.
Beautiful. In the morning, your sun shines to give us light.
So, I mean.
Yeah. Our faces. So we lift our faces to you. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry if I'm not always in a right place to hear folk. It's my fault. The fragrance of your presence overwhelms us. Lovely. Even the birds in the morning sing your praises. We see your mighty power in the thunder, yes. I think we'll have three more lines. Please keep your hearts quiet before the Lord. Well, after this has gone over. Now we're coming to the last three lines, and we want to come to a glorious end. So,
and we are overwhelmed with your love.
Sorry. And we are. Excuse me. And we are overwhelmed with your love. The evening sunshine reminds that your glory never dies. Is that it? Thank you. Just hold it there now. Right. How can we bring this to a close? Help us, Lord. Sorry. Do it again. Say it again.
Even the animals you created and all people.
And so we give you thanks. And praise you, for you are the most glorious Lord. You are our God. Alleluia. 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 Father, please help us to offer you the praise of our hearts. Did we discern you? Yes. But oh, how naturally, Lord, things happen. We can't always recognize when you are moving. And yet, Lord, you're calling us to that place where we may discern spiritual things, whether it is for prayer or battle. Thank you for this experience. Amen. Would you come out, please, and read that?
thank you very much indeed.
Even solitary minds of your God never dies, even the animals you created nor people. Don't quite fit, and so we give you thanks and praise.
This is the Codex Postscriptus.
Dear Lord, how great is your name and how glorious are your ways. As we look up at the stars at night, Lord, we cannot count them. So too we cannot count your blessings. Therefore, in thy greatness, O Lord, we acknowledge our sinfulness and frailty. For you have redeemed us and saved us from sin, but we acknowledge that your ways are not our ways. In the morning your sun shines to give us light, so we lift our faces to you. The fragrance of your presence overwhelms us. Even the birds in the morning sing your praises. We see your mighty power in the thunder, and we are overwhelmed with your love. The evening sunshine reminds us of your glory that never dies. Even the animals you created and all people praise your name. And so we give you thanks and praise you, for you are the most glorious Lord. You are our God. Alleluia.
Alleluia. Excuse me. That was beautiful. Now, what we can do at this camp is to learn how to discern the Spirit of God moving upon many things. As I say, sometimes revelation is beyond normal communication. There is no vocabulary, no language. And sometimes God speaks in such a way that we can only understand it through parables and shapes and types and images. And sometimes it can be understood, but the quality of what we receive from God is such that it distinguishes it from the natural production by the mind. And you know that it's the Spirit of God at move within you. As we learn this, so prayer changes. And so when we come to any battle against the enemy, it's very much one of victory from the beginning. Fear doesn't have to come into it. But that's another thing.